I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here end the lesson.
Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. You
may be seated, and I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me. Come on up. No, come on up. I'm just going to grab some water. Go, go, go. Meet me on the stairs. First one. Good job, girl. So this is a pretty cool new toy, huh? Can you see my toy? No, I'll let those who don't get a chance to try. right after church, okay? So I love this new toy. I played it a lot since I got it. But now that I have this new toy, do I just play it once and then I'm all done? No? What do you do with the new toy? You play with it once and then again. And then you let somebody else play with it, and then you play with it what? Again and again and again and again. Well, I want you guys to come with me. We're gonna take a little field trip, so come with me. Whoops. Come with me. Okay.
I have a carnival cup. Come here.
We're gonna take a little field trip. Today we're learning about the baptism of Jesus. And this is where we have baptisms, right? You see baptisms?
I remember when Brandon was baptized.
You remember when Brandon was baptized? Yeah, do you see what's in here?
Water.
Yeah, water. Well, when we're baptized, does that mean that we're blessed by God just once and then never again? What does it mean? We're blessed by God again and again. Kind of like getting a new toy. You don't just play that once, right? You play that again and again. Well, we can remember our baptism, not just on the day that we were baptized, but again and again and again and again and again. So I want you to help me with something. We're going to do something here. If you can reach in here, you can touch your finger. If not, I'm going to get a little shell. We're going to get a little shell of water here. Everybody take their finger. Give me your pointer fingers. Dip it in here. Tip, 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 tip. Get your fingers. There we go. Reagan, tip, 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 tip. Ruby, did you get your finger in here? You want to swap? Okay. Tip, 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 tip. You probably splashed it. There you go. Everybody have their finger with water on it?
Yeah.
Okay, now take it to your forehead. Ready? And you're going to go like this. Make a line up and down, and then a line across. What does that look like?
Across.
That's right. And so we can remember that all the time. Ruby, do you want me to make a cross on you? Not now? Okay. Well, you can always remember that we are baptized, and we can remember that each and every day, and again, and again, and again, and again. Thank you so much for coming up here and helping me. You can head back to your seats now.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we celebrate your baptism, we pray that we remember that something miraculous happened that day. You broke into this world and reminded us that in our baptisms, your Holy Spirit breaks into our world. And we pray that each day we would live out that baptismal calling. In your name we pray. Amen. So I have to be honest, I don't really know how baptism works. I mean, I believe that it is fully effective, and I know what happens, and I've participated in and done many baptisms, but I don't know how it works. I just trust that it is effective. Who is it that mentioned, Ben mentioned going to the dentist? It's sort of like when I go to the dentist, I don't know what they're doing in my mouth. I just hear drills. And to be quite honest, I don't want to know. I just trust that it is effective. In our baptism, something new happens to us. Not by anything special I do or the pastor does, but by something that the Holy Spirit does with simple water. Water that we can touch on our hands and splash on our faces. Jesus' baptism is different than any baptism I have ever seen or performed. And I don't mean the actual baptism itself. I mean, sure, it was done, you know, in the River Jordan, but people still get baptized that way all the time. In lakes or rivers or out here in California, where have you seen a lot of baptisms? The ocean! Oh, yes, of course, out in the ocean. But what's incredible about Jesus' baptism is what happened immediately after. In verse 16, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am pleased. you imagine if each baptism we did ended like that? I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly our roof blew off and we heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased." Apparently I have a lot more baptisms here at Emmanuel. But what's incredible about this is the language that's used here. In our verse it says that the heavens were opened up before him. In some versions it says that the heaven was rent asunder or torn asunder. And the word that's used here is schizo, like schism. You know what that word means? To cleave. Like a cleaver, right? To slice apart. This is not one of those beautiful, you know, lightly windy afternoons where the clouds part like this. All of a sudden, the heaven was rent asunder, was torn apart, and the Spirit of the Lord came down. There is something dramatic happening here. It is a great and powerful moment of calamity and fanfare and proclamation. Are our baptism rituals sometimes so nice and so cute? Especially when the baptized infant is wearing a lovely baptismal gown, maybe that belonged to their mother or father. Are they sometimes so nice that we neglect to mention the uncomfortable implications of inviting God's Spirit to invade our lives? Because that's what we're doing there. We are putting to death our old selves and inviting the Holy Spirit to invade, to graft onto our lives. Because baptism means that God has broken through. God has broken through our sin, through our separation, through our distance from God, and binds himself to us through the Holy Spirit. So that we, in turn, are called to tear into the challenges and problems of this world. We are meant to rent asunder those things that we are faced with in this world. Everything that we have been given, every challenge we have, we are meant to cleave apart with the Holy Spirit bound to us. So Jesus' baptism happens at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. This is the third chapter. There are 25 more chapters in this long gospel book. And Jesus' baptism is at the very beginning because Jesus' call and commissioning happen in his baptism. In baptism, Jesus gets his identity and his call. Because we are called to task in baptism, and it's not just a static thing. As I told the kids, it's not just a one and done thing. It's a once and again and again and again, and a daily remembrance of who we are. I had a professor once who said this phrase, something like this, and it always stuck with me. He said, "We don't baptize children because they might die. We baptize children because they live." Baptism is not some sort of fire insurance for the end of life. Baptism is our calling in to be people of God. So what is God calling you to through your baptism? In your baptism, you are identified as a beloved child of God, and you are being sent through the water and the word into God's creation. Today we have three beautiful examples of people living out their baptismal calling. First, we have the installation of our two new council members, and did you hear those words? In baptism, you were welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. Today, Jerry and Ricky affirmed that baptism. And in a little bit, Amy, as she becomes a new member, we don't just call it new member, but we call it affirmation of baptism. Because in that, it's affirming those promises that God has already made to you. Regardless of when or how or by whom or where it happened, baptism is a gift from God. It is a means and a conduit of God's grace, signifying not only your cleansing, but our engrafting into Christ and of our family and into our welcome of the family of God. In your baptism, you were identified as a beloved child of God, and you were being sent through the water and the word into God's creation. And so now I pray that the Holy Spirit who was present in your baptism will guide you on your mission, will guide you in all difficult decisions that you have to make, and will remind you that though life is tough and sin is everywhere, God will win out. The Holy Spirit that is bound to you in your baptism will reign victorious. And Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, will get the final say. Amen.